I want to deal with curiosity. The thing is, Jesus Christ, when he came to earth, the biggest problem he had with religious people and with people around was, how do you get them to understand? And understanding is the thing that is not really understood. You can do a lot of things without understanding. You're in trouble. And I would say that the biggest problem the church has in this day and age is lack of understanding. And you wonder, as the world goes on, and when Jesus came to the earth, it was similar. Everyone was looking for a savior. Everyone was looking for something. The Jews sought a savior. Whole idea was somehow there's got to be some answer. They wanted an answer to life. They wanted an answer. And when Christ came, his biggest problem was people didn't want to hear the answer that's true. You see, people have prejudice. They don't have open minds and hearts. Their prejudices lock them out from biblical truth. And what religion does in this society, religion traps you. And you get false notions. And so I just wanted to spend a little while and look at understanding. My Bible says that if we continue in his word, then are we his disciples indeed, and we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. But continuation in the word depends upon an understanding of the word. You can't continue in something you don't understand. You might think you continue in it, but if you don't really understand it, you're going to be way off beam. And what the devil tries to do is rob us of our understanding. That's why the strongholds of Satan are in the reasonings and in the imaginations. And we looked a couple of weeks ago at the fact that idolatry is when the devil puts within your heart a dream. You dream a dream, and the dream traps you. A lot of people live for dreams. And a dream can be your destruction. Your ambition can destroy you. And it talks of prophets, and we're going to come on. And if you turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. Verse 29 says this: "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Now, the one thing that is important to understand is if you really learn of Jesus, there's going to be something that happens in your life. It's called rest. You'll find rest for your souls. Now, there isn't rest for your soul in any other area than learning of Christ. And the big drive in most people's lives is they don't have rest. Just don't. They're not at peace and rest. They're always striving for an elusive something. They don't know what it is, but they're just not at rest. And if you're not at rest, you're not in Christ. And you're certainly not learning of him. Rest is the most important thing in a person's life. You see, when a person's full of discontentment, the Bible says in whatsoever state you find yourselves, therewith you've got to be content. Now, if you can't learn contentment, and contentment with godliness is great gain. But people without contentment are always striving. Striving for something. You only strive for what you haven't got. And what you haven't got is your dreams and your visions and your ideas that aren't God's will. And the only way to get to rest is realizing you've got to learn of Him. He comes to teach us what are the true values in life. The true values in life are not what a politician says. True values in life are what Christ says. Is that plain? You've got to learn of Him. You'll only find rest for your souls. As I say so often, the Rolling Stones had it about right in the 60s, can't get no satisfaction. And they couldn't. What they were trying to do was rebel against everything. They were trying to find satisfaction, which isn't outside of Christ. You can only find rest for your souls in Him. And if you don't learn of Him, there's no rest. And if you go around the average people and you start talking to them, the one thing you find is there's no contentment. People aren't contented. It's just nice when you can rest. And that is the problem with society. The whole of the media is to try and make you discontent. You've got to be discontent so you want the products they're trying to flog you. And they want to stir you up. And Christ says, hey, you can find rest for your soul. Now your soul is your whole being, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now Jesus said, you shall find rest unto your souls if you take His yoke upon you and learn of Him. Now there's two conditions. You see, one condition is you take His yoke. That means that you become a co-worker together with God. And if you take His yoke upon you, and your yoke, like oxen are yoked together, you're going in the same direction. One thing about a yoke is if two oxen go in different directions, you're going to get problems. So the first thing you do is you take His yoke upon you, and then you learn of Him. How do I learn of Him? Well, I find out what He's doing, and I go His way. You see, the one thing you can't do is take His yoke and have your own will. If you're going to take His yoke, sorry, you've got to go His way. And you learn of Him because He has an attitude to things. He has a plan. He has a purpose in your life. And if you're going to learn of Him, you just got to go with Him. You become a co-worker with Him. Most people live and compartmentalize their life. They have their religious thing on a Sunday. They have their work on a Monday and their family and everything. And they compartmentalize their life and forget that, hey, if you want to find real rest for your souls, you better get that yoke on and you better start walking with Jesus. And you better learn of Him. And if you don't do that, there's no rest. All you get inside is discontentment. You don't know why. It's pretty hard if you're yoked to someone and you're pulling in a totally opposite direction. It doesn't feel good. And inside of you, whatever you say and whatever way you slice the pie, discontentment is really rebellion against God. When you're not at peace and at rest, the only thing inside of you is rebellion against God. You're pulling a different way, Buster. That's why you feel it inside. That's why you can't get satisfaction. That's why you can't get rest. Because you forgot the principle. You've got to be yoked to Him. Take My yoke upon you. That's something you have to do. And learn of Me. Now, Christ never imposes his will. No, it's your choice. See, one thing about Christ is he's not going to change direction. God, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. He's made up his mind which way he's going, and you either go with him or you get dragged. And when you're dragged, it's uncomfortable. It's better to learn of him. Hey, what direction are you going in? I better get in that direction. It's not a difficult concept, is it? Hello? So easy to get your mind thinking, you know, what can I do? Well, nothing. You've got to learn of him. Now, it takes meekness and lowliness of heart. You know, an ego and pride likes to have its own way. Majority of people want their own way. So the only way to be yoked to him and take his yoke demands lowliness and meekness. And that's two things people don't possess. And the amazing thing is, meekness and lowliness is not kind of an outward attitude. You find out how meek and lowly a person is when something crosses their will. When suddenly God wants them to go a different way, then you find out how lacking in meekness they are. You know, they throw a wobbly. They give their little tantrum. It's not going their way. You know, how could God let it happen? Ah! Well, I tell you what it is. That shows a heart of rebellion. You were never yoked to him. You never took his yoke upon you. You took your own decisions, went your own way. And suddenly when the yoke gets tight round your neck and you suddenly realize, and Christ begins to pull you back into place, it's uncomfortable. I wonder if you're understanding what I'm saying. Hello? Is that simple? It is, isn't it? Huh? You know, you don't have to be a great theologian. You know, nothing that Christ ever says is difficult. You just have to understand what he's saying. It's nice to find rest for your soul. It's nice when you're at rest. You don't have to prove anything. You just are what you are. Because you've learned that his way is better than your way. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. In fact, God's pretty smart. That's the wonderful thing about it. Do you know God's got more intelligence than you have? Isn't that tremendous? He's got it all figured out. So when you start talking to people, you realize that you're, you know, learn of me, he says. For I'm meek and lowly. Now, how was he meek and lowly? Well, when he came to earth, he said, Father, I don't want to do my will. Whatever you say, that's what I'll speak. Whatever you do, that's what I'll do. In other words, my life is governed by my Father. And meekness is not to do with weakness. It's a strength. A meek man is a strong man. Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. He led 2.5 to 4.5 million people, depending whose estimate you believe. And when it got a bit rough, he took a sword and he slew 2,000 of them. Said, who's on the Lord's side? And some people didn't answer quick enough, so that was the end of them. He was the meekest man in all the earth. People don't want to really know what God's will is. They don't understand. If you're yoked to Christ, you've got to learn of him. You'll get rest for your soul. The trouble is they seek rest in anything but the one who can give rest. His name is Jesus. And they look in every other place. And they're frustrated. They're angry. They feel deprived. They feel God has ignored them or people have ignored them. If only people would acknowledge what God really wants to use them for. But meekness and lowliness of heart. Hey, it's wonderful to be in God's perfect will. Do what he wants. And, you know, I can't do anything of myself. What I see the Father do, say Jesus, that's what I do. What I hear the Father say, that's what I say. That was his heart. And we're meant to be like him. That's how we learn of him. I hope you understand that. A lot of people want to be theologians, amateur theologians. And, you know, there's the democratization. Let me tell you something. The day you try and grasp at what God hasn't given you, you're a fool. The mature person is a person who's happy with what he is, doesn't try to be what he isn't. A wannabe is a deadly thing. You want to be something that you're not. You know, it's amazing. I was thinking, it's the same in anything, like people who play golf. If you play golf for a long time, you get into bad habits. You don't even notice you've slipped into a bad habit until you go and you get some coaching, and suddenly you realize you're doing things, especially when they put it up on a video, you suddenly realize you're doing things you shouldn't be doing. You didn't realize you just slipped into a habit. And a habit feels comfortable. It's a strange thing in life. Everything. You need continuous education. Because you can slip into bad habits. And Jesus said, no, you've got to take my yoke on me, on yourself, and you've got to learn of me. And learning of him. Teachableness is the one ingredient that adults lack. That's why Jesus kept saying, except you become as a little child. People just don't want to learn. They get to the stage where they're so smart, they know everything. And a day you know everything is the day you're dead. You don't know. That's why you have to learn. No matter how far you go on, you still got to learn. My wife's and Mirdre and Kent are getting their doctorates this coming week, you know, on next Saturday. They'll march. They're having a robing on the Friday. And I'm giving them the charge. You know, I've been asked to give the charge to all the students who are graduating. It's going to be $500 each. No, it's a charge of how to live. And the secret is that you never, ever finish learning. Life is learning. Experience teaches you. A lot of times it teaches you what you shouldn't have done. You suddenly realize, boy, if only I hadn't done. But you can't live in your if onlys. You've got to learn from your mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. That's how you learn. When you don't put Christ's yoke upon you and learn of him, you'll learn of someone else. And the secret of life is you want to know who you're learning from. You see, and then, you know, people end up failing in life. And you realize the reason people fail in life is they didn't learn. But the most important thing is to know who you learn from. You need to learn from someone who's reliable. And I would suggest the only reliable place for anything in life is Jesus Christ. If you learn from God, I'll tell you, he won't get it wrong. You'll only get peace for your soul when you learn in the right place. But it takes an agreement. You don't learn by theory. You learn by practice. And unfortunately, a lot of people in life have learned by theory. The only way to get it right is you've got to get yoked with Christ and start learning of him. There's a right way to live. But it takes more than just theory and dogma. It takes a real walking practically with Jesus Christ. It's not just some idea or philosophy. And so many people, their theology is a philosophy of life that doesn't work. And it doesn't work because they've forgotten the first ingredient is you've got to be yoked. You've got to take his yoke on you. The cross has to operate in your life before you're going to get anywhere. Self-denial. You want to be his disciple? Great, says Jesus. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. But the last thing they want in life, and the last thing they were taught, was self-denial. What we're taught in society is self-gratification. You've got a right to it. No, you don't. And they reach out for what they want instead of realizing, first thing, first ingredient in life, self-denial. And nowadays, churches, they fill up places where they tell you, you can become a millionaire, you can do it, you can prosper, you can. And what they don't ever tell anyone is the truth, the simple truth. You don't take the yoke of Christ upon you, you don't deny yourself. I'll tell you what you can't be. You can't be his disciple, and you'll never find rest for your soul. And so you've got churches up and down the land full of unconverted people who are all believing God's going to bless them, God's going to enrich them, God's going to prosper them. But they've forgot godliness with contentment is great gain. And you have to have his yoke on you. You have to take it. In life, we all have choices. But if we make our choice what we want, we're in trouble. You can dream a dream. One thing I've always wanted to do in my life. And you follow your dream. And it ends with destruction. Because Jesus said that isn't a way to satisfaction. So take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. It's simple, isn't it? Can you understand that? Hello? Can you really understand it? See, it's not some great, you don't need to be a great theologian. Just need to have a brain. Let's look at it. Turn with me to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. In a good authorized version. Verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they shall not enter into my rest. Now, the reason they couldn't enter into his rest is they didn't know his ways. Now, if you don't know the ways, you can't enter into rest. And Jesus explains it a little more simply in the New Testament when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, the reason that's so important is the only way you're ever going to know the ways of God are when you walk with him. If you're yoked to him, you'll know his ways. But if you have your own religious beliefs and you choose your ambitions, it might be very religious ambitions, but if it's not the way Christ is walking and you haven't taken on on you his yoke and you're not walking with him and learning of him, you won't know his ways and you'll perish. You won't enter into rest, because the condition of entering into rest is walking with him and learning of him, and then you find rest for your soul. You don't do that, and you're like the children of Israel. You'll end up wandering around in the desert. Now, it doesn't mean God won't be good to you. He fed them 40 years in the wilderness, just they happened to die in the wrong place. Whole generation lost. And why were they lost? One thing, they just hadn't got the lowliness and meekness of heart. They were arrogant, proud, stiff-necked, and knew better. Who's this Moses to rule over us? Who are you to tell us? You know, lowliness and meekness of heart means teachableness. You've got to learn. And people just today, they're not teachable. You just can't sit a person down and teach them, because really they're too smart. They know better. They sit there in their minds, because it's in the strongholds of Satan, or in the minds and imaginations and reasonings. Their little reasoning is functioning, telling them, oh, you don't have to accept that. You don't have to believe it. No. And the devil's there just telling you, what do you want to do? You don't have to do it. Why should you obey? You're free. You know, there's freedom in Christ. Yeah, there's freedom to take his yoke or not. There's freedom to learn of him or to have your own opinion. A lot of choices. You choose the wrong thing, and that's why you make a mess of your life. And then you think, you know, you're ever so religious, and people will think, my, you know, that man or that woman, oh, they're so going on with God. They're not going on with God at all. They've never taken his yoke on them. They've never learned of him. And the trouble is, they just don't know the ways of God. The only way you'll ever know his ways is walking with him. You imagine, they saw all the miracles, they saw all the signs and wonders, and yet they didn't know him, and they didn't know his ways. They sat in Egypt, they knew a mighty deliverance, they watched all their enemies destroyed, and they still wouldn't walk with him. Their hearts never came to the place of meekness and lowliness where they would be teachable. Boy, what a dangerous position to be in, where you just think you know. The more I go on in the things of God, the less I know. I realize I know less and less. I need to learn more and more. God's ways are past finding out. You can't find them out. What you do, you have to walk them. That's why Jesus made it clear, if you want freedom in your life, if you continue in my word, that means yoked to him, walking in it day by day, every day, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sorry, there's a big condition about freedom. It demands a continuation in the word of God. It demands that you learn of him. It demands you have his yoke upon you. It demands discipleship. Deny yourself, take up your cross, you have to follow him. He's the one with strength. His strength is greater than any strength in the world. When you yoke to him and walk his way, I'll tell you what happens. Nothing can stand before you. But then you have to be lowly and meek. Lowliness and meekness, a true spirit of love is easy to be entreated. doesn't get puffed up, doesn't exalt itself. Prepare to learn. Rare commodity in the world today is a person who's able to learn. Just, you know, people just... I like this car sticker, I think I've told you before, they have in America. It says, employ a teenager while he knows everything. And that's about it. You know, young people think they know everything. That's not correct. I'll tell you what, you need fathers in the faith. The older women should teach the younger women. It doesn't say the younger women teach the older women. Pass on teaching. If you've walked and been yoked to Christ, you've got a responsibility to the younger ones. Don't you opt out and say, well, you know, it's time for someone else to take over. It's because you're just too darn lazy to do what God says. Hide it with all kind of a false religious humility. Oh, they've got to develop. They'll develop if you teach them. Opting out is not an option in life. It's wrong. And when young people don't listen to older people, they're foolish, because an older person has one thing to his favor. He's made more mistakes than you have. And therefore, he's got experience. He knows. She knows. How? Life of experience. And when you walk in life, you learn by your mistakes, don't you? And the older you are, the more you know that you've got great experience at mistakes. And you get young people who've never done anything, they know everything about how to do anything. Or they might appear successful, but watch out. Because destruction waiteth. There's a way that seemeth right unto man. The end thereof is... And the thing is about older people, they've usually learned a few things in life. And you can learn from them. I worry, you know, in our society has become one of the things where... I think it was IBM, used to never employ anyone over 40 years old. They used to get rid of them when they got to 40, and they suddenly realized they got themselves in trouble because they took out of the company all the experience. They dumped it. And life's about practicalities. It's not about some super spiritual up there thing. Hey, you live down here, honey. You're in the flesh. You live a life in this earth, and you have to relate to the realities of what's down here. And the only way to do it is you need to be yoked to the right person. You're either yoked to Christ or Belial. People always think that's just to do with marriage. In Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3 says this: wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. For I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed therefore, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Do you know how they departed from the living God? They didn't want to learn of him. They didn't want to walk with him. What they said to God was, look, you talk to Moses. You get involved with Moses. Let him come and talk to us. We don't want to have personal contact with God. We don't want to learn of God ourselves. We want someone else to tell us. And they departed from the living God. And that's a problem most people have. It's called an evil heart of unbelief. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in there, therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Do you know, the real sign of someone who's entered into rest and learnt and got a meek and lowly heart is he's stopped working. He's become a co-worker together with God, and he's stopped doing his works and he's started doing God's work. The whole secret of it is who you're working with. I've stopped. Hey, there's nothing in life I want to build except what God's building. And in life, whatever you do in business, in home, in family, you've got to cease from your own works. It's his work. What's God doing? If I'm yoked to him and I'm learning of him, where's he taking me? What's he doing? What's the furrow he's plowing? I'm learning of him. It's a choice, but it demands you take his yoke upon you. You have to have humility. You have to be teachable. You have to learn. Take my yoke upon you. Learn. Is that plain? You know, you stop your own works, stop your own striving, stop your own efforts, stop your own drives. Hey, it's good to enter into rest. Verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest, he also ceased from his own works as God did from him. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, how did they fall? They didn't get yoked to the one and learn of the one to whom they should be yoked. What they did, they went their own way, working out their own scheme, living for their own ambitions and their own drives, and they ignored God. This isn't a lazy man's life. You've got to labor to enter into rest. It takes real effort of choice. And it takes something of real choice to choose to abandon your way for his way. It's a real choice when you decide you're going to take his yoke upon you. You're going to learn of him. One of the things that happens is you don't become the center of your universe, and your family isn't the center of your universe. God is. You don't become God bless us, mummy, daddy, John and me, us four, no more. You know, it's not that kind of life. It's a life of, hey, I'm put on this earth with a purpose to fulfill God's will. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. I'm yoked to him. I've finished from my own work. I'm a co-worker with him. I'm not trying to do something for myself. I'm called to live for him. I'm not called to live for myself. One of the biggest problems in the church today is self-actualization, self-realization, self-fulfillment. And Jesus Christ says, no! If you want to be my disciple, deny yourself. Take up your cross, follow me. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. Is that clear? It's not what I can do for me and my family, and I want to do this, I want to do... No! What does God want? What's God building in the earth? Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek, lowly of heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. Why? The rest is in the fact you stop from your own works and you start doing his. That's the deal. And you can't have it both ways. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. If you want to know why your life gets in a mess, it's one thing and one thing only. If you want to know why you can't get peace, one thing and one thing only. If you know why you can't get rest, it's simple. You forgot that you've got to take his yoke upon you and learn of him. And you've got to become meek and lowly in heart. In Matthew 13 verse 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. You know, my Jesus loved to go to the seaside. And a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Here's Jesus teaching a multitude. And then he said, well, if you've got ears to... Now everyone heard. Everyone heard. I mean, there's no one in this room except those that sleep. And even they hear. There's some with a gift of slumber as soon as they sit down. But everyone hears. And then he goes on. And he explains it. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Hey, that's one of the things. You know, the people that really hear and understand are the people to whom it's given. There's a lot of people that will sit there. They could repeat what was said, but that's about all. They don't know how it applies. Verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. Isn't it terrible? There's people that hearing don't hear and seeing don't perceive. Hearing they won't understand. And you get people, and no matter how you talk to them, they don't understand. You know, one of the secrets of life is understanding. I remember when I did advanced maths, you know, and I came up a real problem because, you know, they gave you equations with sine, cosine, and all that stuff, equals this, and you had to work out the equation. Now, the thing I could never understand was the logic behind it. No one could explain to me the logic behind it. Because they couldn't explain it, I never figured it out. Now, I could understand velocity. I could understand friction. I could do all those. But when it came to this algebra kind of stuff, I looked at it and I thought, and people would do it and work it all out and get the right answer. But I hadn't a clue how to go because I didn't understand. I didn't understand what was behind it. And if you ask me, not much. Well, it didn't help you. It's like Latin. I learned Latin. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. See, there's certain things God's got to do before he heals you. Got to see with your eyes, hear with your ears, understand with your mind, and he'll heal you. And he says, these people are gross. And you see, it's a good biblical term. And you need to understand, God wants to bring life. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. And that's one of the things that thrills me as we went to Manchester and we've gone around the country and our television program's gone out. And more and more, you know, we're now on at 10 on INI, which is 6, 7, 8, and 10:30 on Revelation Channel, which is 6, 7, 6 on Sky platform. We're also on Hotbird. And one of the things is people ring up and they say, we really appreciate your program. And I sat with Don Double at breakfast yesterday, I think it was, and he was saying, our program is like a lifeline to so many people around the country. And people ring up and say, it's a lifeline. Pastors ring up and say, we didn't know there was anyone who still stuck to the truth. People need to hear. And it's so important to reach out to them. There's a lost world out there, and there are people who are being misled because there are pastors who don't want to hear. There are pastors who don't want to listen. And Jesus was saying, look, there are people like that. And they're being deprived of healing. They're being deprived of deliverance. They're being deprived of life because people don't like the simple gospel anymore. And the gospel's about being yoked to Jesus. Meek and lowly of heart. Son of God. Alive in him. Co-worker. Ceasing from your own works. As God did from his. It's wonderful. And then he goes on to explain the parable. Quite simple. Wherefore, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. look at that, a person, he doesn't understand it. You'll never understand something you don't practice. Theory is only born out into understanding when you live it. Until then, it's just a theory. You've got to walk it. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. But he receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet he hath not root in himself. You know, there's people that don't let the thing really take root in their life. They'll take it with joy for a day or two, and then they let it go. The reason they let it go, there's no real root in it. Takes time for something to root in your life. And if you don't let it root, get nothing. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. There's a lot of people, they receive the word with joy, and then say, you don't want to believe that. You're not one of them, are you? And it's gone. They don't want to face opposition for believing the right things and going the right way. Hey, how often have you known what God wants and someone with a harsh spirit has shouted you down, argued with you, you shouldn't do that, you're an idiot, where do you? And you lose what God sowed in your heart. Didn't take long to lose it. It was just the wrong person spoke into your imagination and your mind, and you gave up what God gave you. He also that receiveth seed, verse 22, among the thorns, is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You know, there's one thing, deceitfulness of riches. People get hooked on the wrong thing. So this is the way to succeed. And it chokes. Riches. If you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what's a man going to give for his soul, said Jesus. How many people get hooked up with riches? And the church, some of the church today, all they tell you about is how to get rich. God deliver us. That isn't Christianity. But godliness with contentment is great gain. But, verse 23, he receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. They both hear and they understand. And without understanding, there is no fruitfulness. When you really understand the word, it's because you've yoked yourself to Christ, you continue in the word, and you come into the freedom that's in the word. And understanding is the most important thing. That's why it takes so long, and I go around and I explain in all kinds of different ways, because I know it takes time for a human heart to understand what's said, because you get so many prejudices in your mind. And so you keep repeating and keep turning over and keep putting it in a different way so that a person gets it into their understanding, because the one thing the devil wants to do is stop you understanding. If he can somehow get you not to understand how everything operates and the ways of God, then he's got you. You've got to understand. Understanding is the essential part of life. In everything, you've got to understand. I didn't understand the blithering equations. Couldn't understand it because it wasn't a good teacher. There are a lot of things I did understand. I understood in the chemistry lab, because I was at a boarding school, someone questioned why, you know, you make bombs in a chemistry lab, it's because you're bored. You make them because you have a weekend where you're doing nothing and you need to occupy it, and blowing up the odd tree is an occupation that seemed useful at the time. But it was only for fun. That was just the way it was. And if you want to know, you know, how it is, I don't recommend it as a way of life to anyone. When you're young, you feel indestructible. You really do. Until you get distracted and something happens, and then you think, oh, you know, you're human. But just fascinating. In this day and age, we've lost our ability to be fascinated. Do you know God has put within us a capacity to be creative in a way that no one else in the earth can be? And yet, that creative fire within you, when it's yoked to Jesus Christ, can do tremendous things in the earth. You could succeed in a greater way than ever before if you would just humble yourself and become meek and lowly of heart. You could change so much. If you just get to go according to God's will, God's way, you could make a dramatic impact. The trouble is, people just don't want to humble themselves and learn. Tragedy. And so they never get to understanding, and not getting to understanding, they don't produce fruit. And you look at the end of their lives and see what they leave. And it's sad. It's a sad thing to look at a life. At the end of the days, what has it produced? Who would know you lived? What are you building? And yet God has a purpose. If you just yoke yourself to Him and get understanding, you could produce 30, 60, 100-fold. But it takes loneliness and meekness of heart. If any man will be my disciple, said Jesus, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Hey, that's not too big a deal, is it? Well, is it? He that receiveth, verse 23, seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Ephesians 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Hey, that's the power that's working for you. Same power that raised Jesus from that tomb is working for you. But if you want it to work in your life, here's the deal. If you want the reality of that power working for you, you have to be yoked to him. You have to humble yourself. You've got to be meek and lowly of heart. And you've got to choose to learn of him. It's that simple. And then you'll have all the power of the God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, working on your behalf to fulfill his purpose in the earth. And he's far above all principality, all power, all dominion and might, and every name that's named. There's no power in heaven or earth that can withstand his power. It's not that you're going to do something great for yourself. It's you choose to do something for him. I'm yoked to him. It's that simple. Pride, ambition. When you're yoked to him, the thing you've got to learn from him is, what does he want me to do? And then you have to be faithful. You know, you've got to be prepared to preach in season, out of season, whether you've got time to prepare or not. You just got to do what he says. You know, it's easy to say, well, you know, I haven't got the time. Oh, I'm too tired. Oh, you know, I'll take a holiday and when I come back I won't have time. I mean, you can say that, but it doesn't wash. Not with God. Oh, you know, I haven't got the ability. You know, you can't expect me to stand up and do something. I mean, you can make any excuse, can't you? But it doesn't wash. Or they can be more spiritual. Oh, you know, I can prepare, but I can't speak. Give me an Aaron to speak for me. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of excuses, isn't there? You know, you can allow anything to get in the way of what God really wanted you to do on the earth. Just depends. And you see, in the end, God won't let you away with it, because he's smart. See, pulling against the yoke only hurts. You only get rest when you get in line, in tune with him, and begin to learn of him. And hey, he plows a straight furrow. In fact, he says, if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit. Why? You go wonky. You've just got to go straight. Can't deviate. True for anyone. You know, God has a purpose and a part for you to play in his perfect plan. Jesus Christ is building his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. But while he's building his church, it's good you become a co-worker together with him. It's time you got under the yoke. You took his yoke on you. Not your yoke, his yoke. It's easy. His burden's light. I'll tell you why, because he takes the weight of it. That's why you've ceased from your own works, and it's God who's doing it. Jesus said, of my own self I can do nothing. What I see the Father do, it's what I do. What I hear the Father say, it. Hey, that's easy. All you're doing is you're a co-worker together with God, and he does it. You pray for the sick, and miracles happen. But it's not you who do it, it's God that does it. You go and you speak and God does a miracle. It's all God. But you're yoked to him. But that takes self-denial. Number one, you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow. follow, learn of him. Now, do you understand that? The only way you're going to bear fruit in your life is if you understand. If you understand, you can produce 30, 60, 100 fold, and it's fruit that will remain for all eternity. And you know, built something in the earth, and when you go, people will say, my, you left something behind. And that's really what it's all about. He's a good God. Amen. You know, good understanding. I like people who understand things. I like to understand things. I like to know. And you know, once you stop being yoked to Christ, you're in trouble. Once you stop learning of him, so easy for the cares of the world to harden you, and then you start ignoring what God's saying. You get yourself in mess. The only way to bear fruit is to be yoked right. It's the right person. Meek and lowly in heart, learn of him. It's the only way to live. And it's the best way, because you find rest for your soul. You can enjoy life. And Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundant. Strange thing is, God's never angry. It's no judgment of God. It's just you pulled the wrong way. You listened to the wrong person. You allowed your heart to get deceived. The cares of the world choked. And suddenly what should be wonderful becomes empty. What should be great becomes bereft. What should have led you out in life becomes a curse. And all you have to do is just take his yoke upon you and learn of him. It's the most glorious thing to realize. Hey, God doesn't ask you to do anything. He wants you to cease from doing anything. He says it should be like you cease from doing your own works as God ceased from doing his. And then you become a co-worker and you watch this God of all creation as he begins to work. His purpose is out through you. And you realize he really cares. He wasn't trying to deprive you, rob you. He was trying to protect you. Why did you throw off his yoke? You just weren't meek and lowly. You thought you knew better. You thought you could do it your way. And you know, going your own way is a hard way to go. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's not a difficult thing for anyone to comprehend. Too simple. Hearing they don't hear. Seeing they don't see. Have you found rest for your soul? Is there deep within you a total contentment? I just love God's way. I love to sit by the river of life. I enjoy what He is. I enjoy what He does. I just enjoy Him. He's everything to me. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Lord. You know, God only asks you to take His yoke. Then learn. It's tough. You can't have your own way. Tough. Tough. Your works aren't going to be accepted. Tough. All your efforts in the end come to nothing. Rest is ceasing from your own works as God did from His. Relaxing in Christ. Let's pray. Father, I just pray for each one here. Lord, that You give understanding. You love us so much. You haven't come to compel us. You've come to offer Your gift. If we'll take that yoke upon us and learn of You, we'll find rest for our souls. Lord Jesus, in Your grace and Your love, let understanding come to hearts and minds. Lord, there's healing that flows from You. Restoration. Life. We can live. Lord, when we cease from our works, everything works. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. You know right where you are. He's there. This morning you could really surrender to Him. Your miracles right where you are. He's not afar off. It's a word of faith. can't go my own way. I need to go his way. Lord Jesus, most wonderful things, rest. Rest inside. When all striving ceases. When the battle's over. And you realize it's all of him. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. Simple. Jesus. Rest for your soul. Rest for your innermost being. That's all God wants. It's what Jesus came, life and life more abundant. What greater power could there be than the power that raised him from the dead, working in you? Father, I just pray, Lord, you'll fulfill the word in every life of those who have ears to hear. Thank you, Jesus.